Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Figure It, the programme where we look at the facts and statistics on Cyprus and figure out what it all means. My name is Fiona Mullen and I'm the Director of Sapienta Economics. This week I'm talking to Haris Psaltis, Professor of Social Development and Psychology at the University of Cyprus. His research interests include intergroup relations and history teaching, collective memory and historical consciousness. You can find more if you look at University of Cyprus. In Cyprus, he studied extensively the social, psychological aspects of intercommunal relations, that's between Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots. And this includes years and years of research into attitudes, especially attitudes on the Cyprus problem, which he has started to share on Substack. So you can find him there at cpsaltis.substack.com. So welcome to the programme, Haris.
Hello, Fiona. Thank you for the invitation.
And why have I asked Haris on? Haris is one of the few Cypriots left in Cyprus who really keeps actively trying to explore new ways, new approaches to solving the Cyprus problem. And we really are a shrinking breed, but I like people who keep trying different ideas the whole time. And one of the reasons you remain a big believer, obviously, is because of your research into attitudes on a settlement. So in April, you announced the results of the most recent academic survey this year on the attitude of Greek Cypriots towards the bizonal bicommunal federation. And it showed the highest support ever for a BBF, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We're just going to publish probably next week the findings of a new big survey funded by LSE Hellenic Observatory, where we present a conjoint experiment where we ask people about their views about both the Cyprus issue and regional cooperation on energy projects. And we just had a question there that we always use for our research, where we ask people to explain their stance on bizonal, bicommunal federation, two states, unitary state, keeping the status quo. So I just reported recently on one of my Facebook posts that, bizonal, bicommunal federation is actually increasing in support, something that we already found in research in the last 5 years, actually.
Yeah. So let me just pause for a minute, and for those who don't know the Cyprus problem. So the bizonal bicommunal federation, it's a power-sharing solution to the Cyprus problem that has been the official approach to solving the Cyprus problem for decades now. It's endorsed by the UN Security Council. But since the collapse of high-level talks in Crans-Montana in 2017, it's no longer been the official line of Turkey, and then Ersin Tatar won the leadership of the unrecognized Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, and he has been openly proposing a two-state solution. But on the Greek Cypriot side, the official line, certainly under the current president, Nikos Christodoulidis, is for a bizonal bicommunal federation. In fact, it's been the official line for the Greek Cypriots for also decades, probably by now, even if there's certain nuances where they say, oh yes, we support BBF, as it's called, but with the so-called right content. So that's the BBF. But back to the survey, tell us a bit more about how it's conducted and so on.
Yeah, the most recent data come from a study of 800 Greek Cypriots conducted by the University Center for Field Studies at the University of Cyprus. The data were collected with a combination of two methods, online panel of the center here, and Facebook ads with post-stratification weighting by residency area, urban versus rural, age and gender, in comparison to the latest census data available from CY Stats collected in 2022. So the findings about BBF we identified converge with the findings one can locate in the most recent European Social Survey. These data were collected in May 2023 and June 2024. And both of these studies show that there is only now about 20 to 25% maximum that reject BBF in the Greek Cypriot community, which essentially means that there are two big groups of people that both of them are the majority. One group is those who like BBF, they are clearly in favor, and the other big group is those that say I do not reject that solution. It's a solution I could tolerate if necessary.
Okay, so we have a 23.8% are against a bizonal bicommunal federation, 28.2% clearly in favour, and then this quite big chunk in the middle, 47.9%, who are neither for nor against. But before we get to talk about that a little bit more, tell us why, because I hear this so many times, people who are not familiar with sampling and statistical analysis and that kind of thing saying, oh, but 800, it's not everybody, nobody asked me, so therefore it can't be valid. So tell us, teach us why that is valid.
Yeah, well, our rector, you know, Tasos Christofidis, who is a professor of statistics here at the university and a specialist in sampling methods, usually says, if you're preparing a soup, given that you give it a good stir, you don't need to taste the whole casserole. You just need to taste a spoon of it, okay?
Yeah.
So it's how good your sampling is. That's the real crucial question here. And actually, there is a formula. And if you know the exact number of people who are eligible to vote, in our case, in the Greek Cypriot community, that's about 550,000 people. You can estimate on the basis of the formula the sample size needed to have a margin of error about 3, you know, plus minus 3%, with 95% of confidence in that. So this is what we do. We apply the formula, and we know that with that amount of sample, we are very confident that, you know, if we report that 75%, you know, or 80% accept the federation, we know plus minus 3, that's where the estimate falls in the population also, not only in the sample.
And just to emphasize, if it isn't obvious, this is obviously a cross-section of society. It's not just Nicosia, it's every corner of Cyprus, it's rural, urban, it's age, it's different socioeconomic characteristics and so on. So in crude terms, a cross-section of society, right?
Yeah, exactly. For example, in the European Social Survey that we collected data here for a number of times, let me just give you a brief example of how we go about it. So we would go at the electricity authority and tell them, on the basis of census, we need that percentage from Nicosia urban, that percentage from Nicosia rural, that from Limassol here. You know, so we create 9 strata. And then once we estimate the gross sample size, we ask them to do a random sampling for us. Once they do that, we take the specific address with our researcher. They visit the specific household. They knock on the door, and then they should go and locate the people in the household that had the most recent birthday. So there's a second step of randomization there. And and what is important, especially for ESS, to understand how strict this whole process is.
ESS, the European Social Survey.
Yeah, European Social Survey. You're not allowed to replace, actually. So if the people that had their last birthday do not want to take part, or they want to suggest another person, you're not allowed to do that.
Right. To make sure they're not influencing and things like that. Yeah.
You know, of course, having said this, you cannot always have that robustness of ESS. But what we do is, when we collect data, we try to follow as closely as possible this method. And if we end up with some, you know, overrepresentation of some categories, as I said earlier, we would run a kind of post-stratification weighting of our sample, depending on the sample on the population census characteristics.
Yeah. So there's several processes involved before you get your final sample of who you're going to ask questions to. So tell us about what was interesting in these latest results.
Yeah, well, the most interesting results have to do with a trend. So, you know, because we do this kind of research, Fiona, every year or every other year, we now have a good track of trends throughout the years. So what's interesting here is that if you look into the percentage of people who reject BPF after Krampontana, you will see that every year there is a significant reduction of that percentage. And, you know, for example, in 2018, just after Crans-Montana, those who rejected BBF were at 41%. 2019, it fell down to 38. 2020, it fell down to 24. 2023, 19%. 2024, 23%. 2025, 21%. So what do you see here? Well, you see that in the last 5 years, people are around who reject federation are only around 20, maximum 23%.
That's very high in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder whether, so this that throws up two questions for me. So the first question is, how closely do you think this is related to the political narrative at the time? So if you remember, Anastasiades came out of Crans-Montana. First of all, there were rumors he had been suggesting two states, which of course he denies vehemently, but it was I think that was already in the news by 2018. But also he was suggesting this loose federation, which maybe people view as different from a bi-zonal, bi-communal federation. It doesn't necessarily have to be, but it looked like even he was sort of moving away from this BBF idea. And now we've got pretty much since 2023, I think, the both he and the current president, Christos Davalides, are in favor of the solution. So my first question is, how much do you think people are just following what the leader is saying? And then the second one, and I know this is even friends of ours in the, let's say, peacemaking space, peace building space, are saying, oh, but this can't possibly be true. You know, there's no prospects of a solution. How come we've got such high relative support for a BBF?
Well, two comments there. To start from the last one, I think we need to make a clear distinction between being disappointed and, you know, losing hope in one sense, and whether people still wish for a solution. And we have actually looked into that with some colleagues in Israel just 3 years ago, where we made this distinction. So we had two different questions for people. One was, if we ask you to estimate, you know, just cognitively estimate whether we will reach a solution on the basis of BBF, what do you think will happen? You know, most people in both communities said we will not reach a solution. But then we asked another question. We said, would you like to reach a solution? Do you wish to reach a solution? And then the results overwhelmingly, about, you know, 75, 80% said, yes, I do wish for a solution. And then we became even more specific. We asked, would you accept a federation? And the percentage was again the same. And then we became even more specific, saying, would you accept the basic idea of Guterres that it should be a solution that needs to secure Greek Cypriots from Turkish influence and give Turkish Cypriots political equality? And then we still got the same clear majority in both communities. So, you know, I think that's really important here, because whenever people are disappointed, isn't it natural? I mean, I remember in Northern Ireland, just a few months before the Good Friday Agreement, there was this poll that said, I think 80%, we will never reach a solution. I mean, you know, when you have all these efforts to resolve a problem and you always fail, you, in psychology, we call it learned helplessness, you know? You lose faith, right? And it's also the fact that you might not trust your politicians that they want to reach there, right? So you see the thing? I think people sometimes misconstrue the lack of hope with lack of willingness, which is not the case, definitely. And you also had another question, you know, why is this percentage of support for BBF increasing? Well, we discussed this a lot with Neophytos Loizidis, my partner in research, and we presented that analysis in various conferences. And the short answer is, I think that people realize two things. First, the status quo is not actually something static. It keeps changing, and it's changing against the Greek Cypriot interest. Just to mention, you know, Varosha, the opening of part of Varosha, tension a few years ago between Turkey and Greece. We were at the brink of war, tension in the UN buffer zone. Remember the Bila incident? So, you know, people realize this is actually a dead end. It's leading nowhere. And the second one, and you see that if you look at the stance of people on other types of solutions, like two states, like unitary state, you see something interesting. It's not that Greek Cypriots actually moved towards two states. Actually, rejection of two states in the Greek Cypriot community is around 80%, 80, you know, it's very high. What there is a drop in support is actually the unitary state. And that's interesting because I think what we are losing the old generation who used to live with Turkish Cypriots. So they don't have this ideal image of a unitary state. They realize there's going to be some kind of two zones, two constituent states living more or less separately, but they do want a kind of just solution that would bring them out of the reach of Turkey, that would somehow feel like ending the occupation, you know, like IDPs will get back their properties or their right, or at least compensations, something that would feel just, you know.
So
I think that's this combination of factors is leading to this increase of support for bizonal bicommunal federation.
So it's what I think is interesting. What you did is you didn't just ask, do you support a solution? You kept digging. And even when you keep digging, you keep getting the answer yes. Because I think a skeptic might say, oh, especially Greek Cypriots only ever want what they can't have. So they wanted Enesis, that they got the Republic of Cyprus, which was, to all intents and purposes, a unitary state. Then as soon as that collapsed, they wanted the unitary state, not the BBF. And now that they can't, now that Turkey is saying it wants two states, now they want the BBF, etc. But from what you're saying, it isn't just a reactive thing. It's not just reaction to what Turkey's saying or reaction to what's, or following their own leaders and things like that.
No, I don't think it's just a reaction. And let's add to what I said earlier, the positive effects of contact that was made possible through the opening of checkpoints 2003. And we know, for example, that every year more and more people are added to the pool of people who have friendships with the other community. And we know that friendships are a very good predictor of support for BBF and compromise solution. So, you know, there are historical processes in place that one would make one expect that increasing support.
And interestingly, what is the proportion? Because once upon a time, it was only like a quarter of Greek Cypriots had ever crossed at all, but I think that's a lot higher now, right?
No, you know, even in the early days, Fiona, because we have data from 2007 on crossings, and it's the main thing we are looking into, you know, contact between the two communities. So even from the early years after the opening, the percentage of people who hadn't crossed in the Greek Cypriot community was about 30%.
Oh, only 30? Okay.
Yeah, so 70% crossed at least once. What is usually happening is the following pattern. One third never crossed. One third crossed a couple of times, but they don't really have the intention of crossing again. And one third keeps crossing regularly. Generally speaking, that's the picture in the Greek Cypriot community.
That's a pretty good percentage, I would say, one third, isn't it? So coming up to, I think, one of my final questions is, you know, another skeptic sort of response is, oh, but people don't really know what a BBF is. But of course, a bizonal bicommunal federation can have all kinds of different characteristics. But when people say BBF, do you think they know what they're talking about?
Well, I think, you know, after so many years, although we didn't have at the school system, for example, a kind of explicit lesson to learn about federation, I think, you know, people studied abroad, they visited many federations. Many people, for example, studied in the USA. USA is a federation. Other people studied in Germany. Germany is a federation. They know Switzerland, you know, they know Belgium. I don't think people don't really realize what federation is, but, you know, just to make sure, in our research, as you said earlier, we really want to understand, to put content to federation and describe it in as much detail as possible, and then ask people to position themselves. So it's not just the question of whether you accept federation as a title. You know, recently with Neophytos Loizidis, we did a kind of conjoint experiment. A conjoint experiment is when you give people specifically designed packages in pairs So varying, the executive, varying the compensations people will get, how the Supreme Court composition will be, what percentage will be returned back, whether Morfu will be returned back or not. We define the
So
content.
tweaking what you get, basically.
Yeah, tweaking, the dimensions of the Guterres framework. And then we present it each time on a screen to people, and they choose between two of the packages. We do that 5 times, and then you run an algorithm that estimates the specific package that people would accept in both communities. So in
Nice.
that sense, we have a good estimate of what content one can add to the federation and what level of acceptance there could be in both communities. And through that, and we publish this in a very good journal actually called Conflict Resolution, Journal of Conflict Resolution.
We'll try and put that link in the show notes. Yeah, I'm looking at your summary here. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and we identified at least three or four variations of the Guterres framework that could actually be accepted in both communities if we ever reach that peace package and go to a referendum.
Nice. Good. So there's still hope yet. We shouldn't give up. Let's hope that Madame Olguin is listening. She's coming back. I think you're working on some other things as well, so just give us a little taster of what else you're working on at the moment.
Yeah, as I said earlier, very soon, hopefully next week, we're going to announce our recent findings from this new conjoint experiment in the Greek Cypriot community, where we ask variations of the Guterres framework in relation to possibilities for regional cooperation on energy projects, like a photovoltaic park in the buffer zone, GSI interconnector, pipeline from Israel to Turkey through Cyprus, various possibilities.
All of my hobby horses, good. Good. And so that'll be public next week, is that right?
Yeah, hopefully next
Yeah,
week,
or in the next week or two. Good. Okay, that was really interesting, Harris.
yeah.
And as one thing I should say is, although the most recent thing is on Greek Cypriots, you've had similar findings of support from Turkish Cypriots, right? For a bizonal bicommunal federation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the percentage is very similar in the Turkish Cypriot community.
Good. Okay, thanks for that. And I will sign off now. Figure It is brought to you by Island Talks. It's the only trilingual podcast station of Cyprus. If you want to support the overheads like website costs and software, etc., head over to islandtalks.fm and select Support Us. Thank you, Harris. We'll put some links to what you've been talking about in the show notes. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Fiona. Bye.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus, Island Talks. Open, diverse, free.